If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Kill Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are here in the studio this week. We're actually getting ready to head out on a bunch of travel. I talked about it a couple shows ago with regards to our innovations in the rural part of America. We're out in the mobile studios talking to innovators in non-obvious industries and in non-obvious locations. Again, on the basis of the fact that innovation does not only happen in Silicon Valley. And there's a lot of really great sources for ideas and innovations across a wide range of areas. Finn Gourmet Foods, which was in the fish processing business of Paducah, Kentucky, was the company that kind of kicked off this whole theme, and we've been getting great response. If you have a company, a location, geography that's doing some really interesting work in innovation, please drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. And we'd love to see if we can't schedule to come by with the mobile studio and do a broadcast. Between now and the end of the year, we'll be focusing east of the Mississippi. After the first of the year, we will be focusing on west of the Mississippi. And when you're on the road in the mobile studio, you quickly realize how big the U.S. really is. But we've been able to meet some great entrepreneurs and some great innovators. Today's show topic is actually a little bit of a twist in the fact of looking at innovations and sources of innovations in what I would somewhat classify as non-obvious sources. We tend to think of innovations coming from big established organizations like an HP or an IBM, an Apple, Google, Facebook, etc. But there's been this just absolute explosion in what I call innovation competitions, the desire to bring together really smart people to go after a problem and bring a different perspective, and people from not within the industry, but people from outside the industry, or in this case for today's show, talking about students going after a competition around a very specific problem space, and then having those innovations actually spark ideas for those people who are in the industry. What we're talking about is a competition that was called the Shell Eco Marathon Americas. It's actually the full title is Make the Future California, featuring Shell Eco Marathon Americas. I love people who name innovation competitions. I think they get compensated by how many words they can have in it. But this is the Shell Eco Marathon competition. And what I've got with me today is the Technical Innovation Award winner from this year's competition from Duke University. And I'm going to introduce each one of them, let them talk a little bit about themselves, and then we're going to walk through and talk about what's it like in these kinds of competitions trying to solve the challenge that's being put before them and what their experience was. So let me introduce the students here from Duke University's team. So, Shomik, give us a little bit of background of yourself and what your major is there at Duke.
Yeah, so I'm Shomik. I'm a rising senior at Duke University studying mechanical engineering with minors in energy engineering and mathematics. And on the electric vehicles team, I was very involved with the mechanical side and also co-led the hydrogen fuel cell development.
Excellent. And Patrick, give us a little bit of background on yourself and what your major is at Duke.
Yeah, sure. My name is Patrick Grady. I actually just graduated Duke a month ago. I'm going to Georgia Tech next year, both in electrical engineering, and I've been president of the team for the past 2 years.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Excellent. Well, we can talk offline. We actually, where I'm CEO, we hire a lot of people from Georgia Tech, so we may want to talk. I recruit anywhere. I'll hire anybody I can run across that's really, really smart, right? Jerry, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm also a rising senior like Shomik. I'm studying a dual major in electrical computer engineering and mechanical engineering.
Great. So, hey, Patrick, give us a little bit of background. What is the Shell Eco Marathon Americas? Describe to the listener what this competition's all about.
So this is a competition between a bunch of universities and high schools all across North and South America. There's, of course, many from the United States, many from Canada. Brazil is a big one, Mexico. And it is an annual race that Shell hosts of efficiency. So each team builds cars. They don't look anything like the cars on the street, and they're very efficient. So, like a Toyota Prius, which is about the most efficient car you can buy today, gets around 50, 55 miles per gallon, or around there. This year, our car got 12,000 miles per gallon.
Oh, 12,000 miles per gallon? I'm guessing the oil industry is really thrilled with you guys right about now.
Ironically, it's sponsored by Shell.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting part, right? You know? So, Shomik, tell us a little bit about what was the competition like, you know, as far as how did it all come together?
Yeah, so we participated in the prototype category. There's other schools also participating in prototype, but also urban concepts. So it's really interesting going out to the different teams and talking to them about the different approaches they took to solving the problems that are in front of us, improving efficiency, improving aerodynamics, driver comfort, things like that. The challenge requires a lot of problem solving, creativity, and most of all, collaboration. So a lot of teams are going around asking for different tools, advice on how to go about solving problems. So it was a very, very unique experience.
So how long from the time that you said you're going to be in the competition do you have to build this vehicle? Or is this a multi-year competition?
So most teams spend about a year building a car, and then during the competition, they do a lot of fine-tuning, finishing touches. Then we have a few days to do practice runs, and then the official runs start over the weekend. So we have a maximum of 6 trials to get in our best run.
Oh, wow. Excellent. So, Chair, talk a little bit about why did you participate in the competition?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's kind of dual goals here. First of all, practically speaking, in the classroom, you know, there's a lot of theoretical experience, but there's definitely great disparity between putting the theoretical stuff into practice. And this is a great way that I think a lot of students get that practice. And of course, the second reason is just because it's really fun to be able to see a lot of people and to be able to work in teams with people, which is just something that you generally don't get to do very often.
Now, Patrick, you're unique in the fact that you've been part of this team from Duke for multiple years. So what got you into it originally? And then you've been leading the team for the last 2 years, correct?
Yeah, sure. So, I became interested in the team, I guess it was the freshman year activity fair, walking around, and, it was really cool to see the really extreme engineering that happens here. You know, most of the time, a lot of innovations, a lot of engineering projects, they have to juggle lots of different priorities, but this is a really cool competition. And that it's so focused, it's so incredibly focused on efficiency, and everything else can, takes a lower priority. So it's a lot of fun to engineer, and we get to do some really fun things.
One quick question then, if the focus is on efficiency, how practical are the innovations you see in the competition to be applied to, let's say, the vehicles that we're going to see 3, 5, 10 years from now? Is it practical, or is this, you know, nice fun exercise, but not really practical?
It's a mix. It's honestly as close to aviation, to airplanes, as it is to cars. It's kind of like if you were to compare like NASCAR, Formula One to modern cars, it's a lot of the same ideas, but we push them much farther then, you know, the current car makers can push them. So a lot of the same ideas, but it is pretty far out.
Yeah, well, I mean, for instance, you know, it's you do have to have certain crash safety requirements in a commercial vehicle. I'm probably guessing you're not doing crash safety testing on your designs.
We do have a series of tests that are required to be passed by Shell. So there's, like, I think 11 different stations, and each one tests a different aspect, such as the security of the harnesses, the rollover bar, the brakes, everything like that. So we do have to pass a certain set of requirements, maybe not as strict as actual automobiles, though.
Great. And tied into that, though, is why do you think Shell is doing this competition? We talked about the fact that at your kind of miles per gallon, you're not helping the oil companies, but you know the oil companies are changing a lot now with regards to what their objectives are.
Yeah, I can take this one. So part of the Shell Eco, part of the Eco Marathon that Shell puts on, the Make the Future Festival, it really shows why they are an energy company rather than just an oil company. Mm-hmm. So they're showcasing lots of their innovation thrust into hydrogen power, into one of the big projects they did is to make like those long haul trucks much more efficient. So they're trying to, obviously they know that oil is not going to be as big 10, 20 years down the road. And so they're really trying to be on top of that.
Perfect.
Innovating that.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversations with Shomik, Patrick, and Jerry from Duke University's team competing in the Shell Eco Marathon. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran, multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign Contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Five things you can count on when using LegalZoom for your business. Number one, reliability. You know, more than 1 million people have already trusted LegalZoom to help them start their businesses. In corporations, LLCs, nonprofits, DBAs, and more, use LegalZoom to get started the right way. Number two, experience. You can count on LegalZoom for all of the details. They've been helping all types of business owners for 15 years. Number three, helpful support. They have the right people standing by, ready to help with your questions, all based in the U.S. Number four, legal advice. LegalZoom isn't a law firm, so they built a network of independent attorneys available in 48 states. You'll get answers to your legal questions, and they can review supplier contracts, employment laws, and help with most of the day-to-day situations that pop up. And finally, number five, there are no surprises. LegalZoom provides complete transparency with upfront pricing and customer reviews with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Make the smart choice for your business today at LegalZoom.com, and don't forget to enter Ray in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom.com.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents guidance. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945. Again, 1-800-607-8945.
As a small business owner, there's one word that you absolutely dread: payroll. For small businesses, it's a big burden. You may think you're saving time and money doing it yourself, but come on, are you? Timesheets, processing checks, calculating taxes, a total waste of your time. Paychex simplifies payroll processing, saving you time and money. Submit your payroll online, fax it in, or call your dedicated Paychex payroll specialist. And you're done. Learn more at trypaychex.com. Come on, do the math. The IRS dishes out 8 million penalties a year. Make one mistake and you're on the hook. On average, you're losing nearly one business day every month doing payroll. That's time and money you'll never get back, unless you get Paychex. More than 500,000 small businesses already do. Call 877-649-5324. Trade payroll pressure for peace of mind. Call now. 877-649-5324. That's 877-649-5324.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. We're continuing our conversation with the Duke University team for the Shell Eco Marathon Americas competition. They are the winner of the Technical Innovation Award at this year's competition. We've got Shomake, Patrick, and Jerry representing the team. So, Shomake, describe to me, give me a little bit more background on describing the process and approach for building the car, and what does the car look like?
Right. So I'll talk briefly about the process first. So as we discussed, the Shell Eco Marathon Americas event occurs in April. So throughout the first semester, so August through December, is a lot of design work. So you do some computer simulations, including computational fluid dynamics to optimize the aerodynamics of the car. We do also a lot of theoretical work about comparing different manufacturers for motors, hubs, a lot of different parts of the car. And then we also do machining. At the end of the semester, we send out our designs for the car. So we send out our molds to be fabricated. And then the second semester is dedicated to building. So we build the car, we use the molds to build the frame of the car. We finish up our machining and put all the parts in the car. And with our hydrogen fuel cell, we did a lot of optimization work as well. So first semester was optimizing the different parameters of the fuel cell, and the second semester was actually implementing those parameters and testing them in an actual fuel cell. And then beyond that, after building the actual car, we have to test the car. So we have a driver go in, drive a bunch of laps around a track, and see what kind of efficiencies we can get. As far as the appearance of the car, so it's an oblong shape. A lot of people, when they look at the car, they think that it's remote controlled because it's so small. They can't really believe that a person actually fits in there, but it's very small. The driver lies down flat and looks through the front mirror. Yeah, so it's tiny. We try to optimize for efficiency, so we try to make it as light as possible as well. So it only weighs around 50 pounds.
The total car only weighs 50 pounds?
Yeah, and our driver weighs 100 pounds, so it's half the weight of the driver.
I was going to say, you go around the university with a scale weighing everybody, and if you get under 100 pounds, you qualify for the driver's seat.
That's pretty close to what we do.
I was going to say. So how do you fund this?
We have a lot of different sponsors. So a fraction of the money comes from the university. A lot of it comes from different sponsors that are interested in, you know, training students. So like General Motors is a big one. The Lord Foundation. The Lord Foundation is another engineering company that funds us. We have a few really generous sponsors.
Has Duke won awards previous years in this competition?
Yeah, so in addition, so for example, like this year, in addition to the Technical Innovation Award, we also had first in the electrical and hydrogen categories. In the past, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, we also won another Technical Innovation Award for, I believe, a monoclock body design analysis.
We also took, in addition to this innovation award, there's a overall efficiency competition, and we were fortunate enough to take first place with our electric and hydrogen vehicles.
Well, I would hope so. At 12,000 miles per gallon, that's kind of a hard number to beat.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out how many. I'm trying to figure out how many trips. What's that? That's what, 3.5 trips coast to coast.
Around the world on $2 of $2 of electricity. It's an electric car, so miles per gallon is a conversion.
Yeah, I got that. So, what's it like to win the award? I mean, what's been the response? I'm assuming the Duke University's out there touting this, you know, which is how you guys ended up on the show here. So, you know, first of all, how big is the team? You know, three of you are here representing the team, but how big is the team at Duke that was all part of this?
It's maybe 15 or 20 people working on it in the evenings, on the weekends, aside from their classes and their other obligations. We work on it all year. The Technical Innovation Award was it was really cool to win. I think our work gave us quite an edge over the other teams, which have been doing a more traditional hydrogen powertrain approach. I guess to briefly summarize how the innovation works, most teams power their car directly with a fuel cell. But that means if you were, for example, accelerating hard or going up a hill or something like that, the fuel cell has to be sized very large. But that means under normal running conditions, it's operating at low power, which isn't very efficient. So our innovation is to kind of put the supercapacitors, which are like a battery, in between. So the fuel cell always runs at its most efficient point. And then the car has more freedom to run however it wants to be the most efficient. So it's been quite cool to receive the award, and we've had a few other teams ask us how we did it.
Well, that's part of trade secrets, right? Now you got all you got the IP issues, right? You got to keep it for next year's. But so what's next? What's your goals for next year's competition, or do you have more work to do that you're going to do with the vehicle you've designed this year?
Yeah, so even before next year's competition, we're hoping to. Over the summer, we're hoping to beat the world record for world's most efficient prototype vehicle, where it's a hydrogen fuel cell car. So using the same car from competition, we're going to do some runs, have some independent judges judge the attempt, and ultimately beat the Guinness World Record. So we have still some work to do. The world record is 12,600 miles per gallon. We're at 12,000. So we have some more fine tuning to do, some efficiency gains to make, but hopefully we'll be able to beat it soon.
Yeah, I'm hoping you're not going to put your driver on some kind of a diet to get 25 pounds out of the weight or something. Describe who else participated in the competition. It was, you know, you said universities and high schools even from North and South America. So who were some of the other schools that participated?
There's been a big rivalry between us at Duke and Oregon State. Oregon State's a big engineering school. They have a very good team. And
well, it's interesting that you raised Oregon as the example, because it turns out that I actually know one of the industry advisors to the Oregon State team, who actually is a retired engineer from HP at their Corvallis, Oregon facility. So. It's a top school. The fact that you guys have continued to beat them, I'll definitely have to send them this podcast and rub it in. So in this case of the level of competition, where's the competition held at? What's the course look like? Where's it located at?
Yeah, so the competition takes place every year at a different place. For the last couple of years, it was at Detroit, Michigan. In the heart of the city, they blocked off a lot of roads for a couple days, and we were able to like race around the city streets. This year it took place in Sonoma, California. Beautiful racetrack there.
Yeah, well, the Sonoma racetrack is very beautiful. Nice oval there for very famous. In fact, they just had a NASCAR race there this last weekend. So great. We're gonna hop off for a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'm gonna ask the team to share a little bit about what this competition means to them personally as they continue their schooling, or in this case of Patrick, having graduated, but I also want to get your feedback on the lessons learned from the competition. You know, you start with one perspective at the beginning, you learn a lot of things at the end. What advice would you give yourself if you had a chance to wind the clock back at the beginning of this? And Patrick, you've been doing this for multiple years, so you've had the build up. So stay tuned. We're going to share the lessons learned. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
All right, guys, we're ready for our Four Seasons sunroom, and Daddy's gonna get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no, we'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, you know, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room, weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no, wait, a family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to receive your free, no-obligation brochure from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-928-7007. That's 800-928-7007. Call 800-928-7007 today.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, call Consolidated Credit now.
Call now, 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241.
Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by Virginia State Corporation. Commission license number DC-32. Establishment of a plan may adversely affect the individual's credit rating or credit scores. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase financial charges or collections activity, including litigation.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
We are here at Killer Innovations. We're continuing our conversation with the Duke University team that won the Technical Innovation Award at the Make the Future California featuring the Shell Eco Marathon Americas competition. This is one of many innovation competitions that have become pretty popular in the most around the world. And we're wrapping up. If you're joining us late, please jump up to the start of the show and pick up the entire conversation. But I want to talk specifically about the fact that you've gone through this experience of having done these kinds of this competition in particular, which is really applying what you learned actually doing, you know, competing against other universities and high schools, but actually building something that actually makes the vision you have a reality. What has been the impact of this participating in this, and how has that changed or reinforced your future goals? Patrick, I'll toss it to you first.
Yeah, sure. I've worked on this team for the last 4 years, and it's made a huge impact on my future goals. I think working on a team like this, getting to work on such advanced engineering, we really get to dive very deep into the technical knowledge. It's made me interested in not only like keeping the application, you know, keeping it real world, keeping it meaningful, but also to push into the research. So this club has actually convinced me to get a PhD after my graduation, to keep on pushing the cutting edge of technology. That's one of the few places where you can really innovate on a really deep level like that.
And what about you, Shobek? How's this competition influenced where you're continuing education or where you think long-term you want to work?
Yeah, so I'm similar to Patrick. So working on the hydrogen fuel cell development got me really interested in hydrogen research. So hydrogen generation and also hydrogen use in fuel cells. So in hydrogen generation side, we're currently working on research in methane reforming. So currently the majority of hydrogen is produced through methane reforming. So I'm figuring out how to use solar energy to make that process more sustainable. And then on the fuel cell side, I think participating in the competition gave really valuable experiences on how fuel cells operate and really opened my eyes to potential innovations in fuel cells and how we can make them more efficient and utilize hydrogen more effectively. So yeah, I'm also hoping to pursue a PhD in a few years.
Perfect. And Jerry, what about you?
Yeah, I guess you guys kind of said it all. I'm also planning on pursuing a PhD, and it was very largely impacted by this competition because it was really kind of the first time that I really got to like dig deep into the very careful kind of like researchy, like let's push this thing to the furthest it'll go, kind of limits of things, and it was just such a rush for me. And yeah, so this competition definitely set me on the path to PhD.
So one thing I always like to ask guests on the show is, you know, you've had this experience of doing the being part of the competition, and you know, there's always lessons to be learned, right? Things never go perfect. There's always challenges. Things don't, you know, you've got this, you think you got this plan all worked out, and then Murphy moves in and throws a couple of wrenches at you. So what I'm interested in is having each of you share, what were the lessons that you learned from the competition? So Shomek, why don't you go first? What were the lessons that you learned that you took away from having gone through the competition?
Yeah, so one of the big things that I learned was to always have determination and perseverance. So just like as you mentioned, there's always going to be unexpected things that come up. So for us, it was the fuel cell not working properly the day we got there. So when we were supposed to be doing trial runs, instead we were trying to troubleshoot the fuel cell, figure out what was wrong. And it was really important for us to rely on our team members and rely on the fact that we knew we did good work in order to really power through the difficulties and then eventually do a run. So I think the struggle was definitely really difficult to overcome, but it was worth it in the end.
So let me ask you a question. How much panic was there on the team when the fuel cell didn't work right out of the gate?
There was a lot of panic, I think. we were all running around trying to figure out what was wrong, connecting computers to everything, sensors, and it was really good that it worked out in the end.
I guess that's good preparation, because that's what real life is like, right? You know, you think you got the plan all worked out and something. So, Jerry, tell me a little bit about what was the lessons learned that you got from being part of this competition?
Yeah, aside from the hard work and determination, I feel like kind of if you work hard on something but don't really have a good way of going about it, you can't really get results. And I think that this year in particular, under the guidance of Patrick, I really saw where you can be methodical about things, you can be really organized about things, and you can break down this very complex task of how do we make the most efficient car, and you can break it down into every single little subcomponent and make every subcomponent as efficient as it can be. And just that methodical nature of breaking things down was a huge eye-opener for me.
Patrick, you've been part of the team 4 years. You were president of the team for the last 2 years. You've brought the trophies home to Duke. If you look back over the whole 4 years, what lessons do you walk away with now as you get ready to enter as a PhD candidate at Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I think I have an interesting one. So obviously I've worked on really efficient electric vehicles for the past 4 years, but I think a lot of the principles that we learned there can be applied anywhere. Like obviously I learned how to do aerodynamic simulations. That's not useful for an electrical engineer, but that attitude of being able to learn different things is really useful. I think the biggest thing I learned was how to go back to basic theory. So using just, you know, like high school, middle school level physics, and using very simple math, you can really predict how a lot of these things will work before you ever build them in real life. So, you know, instead of spending a month building it, you can spend 2 hours at a whiteboard doing calculations, and you can figure out a lot of how it will perform. So whether it's, you know, like Elon Musk building reusable rockets or building, I don't know, the new Nissan Leaf or a new like power plant or something, you can figure out most of how it's going to work before ever building something. I mean, of course, obviously that has limitations, but it really lets you find, you know, you have such a big drawing board of all these ideas that could work, might work, and you can try them very easily, very quickly, and see which ones are worth exploring just very easily, just with really simple math.
That's a great wrap-up of really the whole experience of going into these innovation competitions and you know, being able to operate within certain constraints. You've got a constraint of time, you got a constraint of money, you got a constraint of people, and how do you balance all those constraints? So if the listeners want to kind of see what you guys are up to and keep track of the team, where's the best place for them to find that information?
Sure. We've got a Facebook page, Duke Electric Vehicles, and our website is duke-ev.org.
And we'll have all of those links up at on the show notes, so just hop on over to killinnovations.com, and we'll have all those links so that you can keep track of the Duke team, as also as they later this summer try to go for the world record. They're currently at 12,000 miles per gallon, trying to go to 12.6 or 12,600 miles per gallon to break the new world record. And they've assured me that they're not going to put the driver on a diet and try to shave off 25 pounds as the way to get there. So, but I have every confidence that the team's is going to figure that out. So, Shomik, Patrick, Jerry, thanks for taking the time for joining us here on Killer Innovations, and I wish you all three the best of luck as you continue your education, as you take what you've learned in the competition and help change the world with the innovations you're going to come up with. You give us all confidence of the future. I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So as we wrap up today's show, don't go anywhere. We've got segment four. Segment four will be the 5 minutes to new ideas. That's where we take and challenge you with a question to think about your idea, your innovation, your business differently, and help you come up with an idea that's going to be a game changer. And as I continuously say, don't let the innovation antibodies get you down. This next segment, arming you with some abilities to come up with some really great ideas that will change the world. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. In the meantime, if you've got guests that you think would be great for the show, drop me a note, phil@killerinnovations.com. We're always looking for interesting stories and interesting guests who can share their thoughts, insights, and experiences, bringing ideas and innovations to reality. So with that, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Killer Innovations on the BizTalk Radio Network.
In the know, I'm Brian Osuch. Mike Savicki is a C6-7 quadriplegic who is a Navy veteran multi-sport athlete who stays on the go. He says when it comes to mobility and transportation, there is hope for those who are disabled.
It's about finding wheelchair-accessible vehicles and solutions that allow us to drive or be transported to be a part of society, which is what we with disabilities really want most of all.
Mike still drives and lives an independent life.
I was introduced to a wheelchair-accessible vehicle through a local Namita dealer who taught me about getting in and out with my wheelchair, driving with my hands, and about the fact that I can get my driver's license again and I can have that independence and freedom.
Many call Mike a hero, and he's urging others to enter the local Heroes Campaign contest for a chance to win a wheelchair-accessible van tailored to meet their needs.
Go to the website mobilityawarenessmonth.com and share a short story or a video that tells us about who you are and what you're doing that makes you a little special.
For more information, go to mobilityawarenessmonth.com. Now you're in the know from Numita.
Autism. One out of every 68 children in America are impacted across every race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic group. If you aren't directly affected, someone you know is. Today's world doesn't support those on the autism spectrum. It needs hacking for us to truly welcome those who think and create differently than ourselves. We're Hacking Autism, a nonprofit charity with a mission to hack therapy, technologies, and career opportunities that improve the personal and professional lives of people on the autism spectrum. We believe that everyone can play a role in supporting those on the autism spectrum so that they can show their unique talents and abilities in this fast-paced world. You aren't powerless in this fight. Use your gifts and talents to make a positive impact. Join us in making a difference. Go to hackingautism.org to learn more.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy. pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Greece is cheap,
but the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. 800-217-5107. That's 800-217-5107.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now, and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today, and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio. This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
This segment of the show I call 5 Minutes to New Ideas, designed for the creative mind looking for that next great idea. Each episode will challenge you to think differently about yourself and your business by asking unique, funny, and sometimes crazy questions. Get your notebook out and be ready to uncover that game-changing idea. Here is 5 Minutes to New Ideas. One of the first products I created as a software developer was a touch typing program called Typing Instructor. This was back in 1985, and at that time there was no such thing as a standard PC. Instead, you owned a specific brand and had access to the programs that had been written specifically for that make, whether it was IBM, Wang, or DEC. Each of these companies was attempting to create lock-in for their third-party software developers. If a user wanted a very specific application, they needed to own the computer for which it was written for. Now, was that a good thing or a bad thing? All of these brands approached the problem in unique ways. Compaq, a dinky startup in the 1980s, had the most expansive philosophy about building their business. The team at Compaq realized that to win against the industry strategy of creating unique, proprietary PCs, they must push for PC uniformity. They decided to make their products compatible with IBM. Similarly, IBM licensed MS-DOS from Microsoft, designed specifically for their PCs, a decision that subsequently made a fortune for Bill Gates. On the other hand, companies like DEC and Wang thought they could create some unique differentiators that would make the software developers come to their platforms first. Wang was especially notorious for wanting to keep their programs proprietary. Because the PC manufacturers were in a fight to dominate the market and to win over the largest market share as quickly as possible, locking a customer into using their brand and making it hard as possible for the customer to switch in the future, it seemed like a good idea. One of my first jobs in computing engineering was with a company called Individual Software. I was 24 at the time and married with a kid when Individual called me. I knew these guys, and I had faith that they were going to do interesting work and that it would be a good place to get in on the ground floor of a booming industry. I talked to my wife, we packed up our lives, and drove west to Silicon Valley. Individual had some ideas for programs, and one of the first they seemed to have a real potential was a simple program to teach touch typing. Think about it. Home PC use was exploding. Even if a user didn't need touch typing at work, they were soon going to be wanting it at home. My colleagues at Individual and I got together and started throwing around ideas. Once we decided what kind of program we wanted to write, the second question was, what PC were we going to write it for? This was in the early days of Silicon Valley. Individual was at the crucial phase of a young startup company. We had the resources to make one or two moves, and if these moves didn't work, we were going to be out of cash and out of luck. One of the biggest stumbling blocks was the fact that in the mid-80s, there were easily a dozen different major PC manufacturers in widespread use. While each of these companies used the same OS, they were all tweaked it by adding custom code to make it work with their hardware. Clearly, some of these PC companies were going to fail, but there was no guarantee about which company was going to win. Since each of these PCs required its own version of your program, how could you decide which one to write for? Individual needed to get products out to as many users as possible to survive, but any choice we made was automatically going to eliminate the majority of our potential customers. Writing an individual program for each operating system was not financially possible. We had limited research and development dollars to spend, and the future of our company was riding on making the best choice. So what do you do? Traditionally, a company like ours would write a program and then spend lots of R&D dollars on porting it to as many operating systems as possible. However, this was not going to work for us. We couldn't afford to do it. We had the budget to write the program once, but if we only wrote it once, we weren't going to be able to sell enough copies to ever make a profit. We could take those R&D dollars and put them into an approach that would allow us to create a standard product once rather than multiple customs. Could we do that? We turned this question over and over in our heads. Finally, we did what innovators throughout history had done in this kind of a situation. We said, forget the obvious solution, and we decided to take a crazy gamble. Instead of writing a program specifically for an IBM or a Wang, we took the same amount of money and created a software engine that essentially worked as a universal translator and allowed the same program to run on any of the existing PCs. While the industry thankfully has moved away from proprietary PC platforms, developing that translation engine rather than worrying about the program was a 180-degree turn from what was the norm at the time. It could have killed our company and left us all out on the street, yet it paid off. If you go into the big box computer stores even today, you can still buy a copy of Typing Instructor more than 25 years after it was first released. It's not hip, it's not glamorous, but it worked really well, and that's what counts. So ask yourself, could you create a standardized offering of a custom product? While others are looking to flip this the other way to grab larger revenue opportunities with a custom product, don't be afraid to go the opposite direction from everyone else. I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note over at phil@killerinnovations.com. Now, the reason I've been doing this show since 2005 is to pay back my early mentor by paying it forward. My first mentor, Bob Davis, invested an immense amount of time in training and coaching me, which had a major impact on my career. When I went back and asked him how I could pay him back, he just laughed and said, I couldn't. I had to pay it forward. If I could ask for a favor, could you help me pay it forward? How? One, give us a rating wherever you get your podcast, as that helps spread the word. And two, by telling others about the show. This episode of Kill Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog over at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.